Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. In today's world, we dive into the world of unique experiences and local businesses. Today, we are thrilled to have Duck Matthews, one of the visionaries behind Nightcap by Merge, a distinctive wine bar that brings elegance and warmth together. Located in the Merge Coffee Building on North Main Street in downtown Harrisonburg, Nightcap offers a curated selection of wines from around the world, craft beers, signature cocktails, and elevated bar food. This cozy yet sophisticated spot is perfect for date nights, casual gatherings, and unwinding after a long day. Join us as we explore the passion and hospitality that make Nightcap a beloved community gathering spot. Welcome, Duck. It's great to have you on today.
Thanks for having me on today, Dawn.
This is so exciting. We have gotten to know each other because I sat down with you, I believe it was at Machete for the first time.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and explained and shared the vision for what was X2 Comedy and now is FWOF, the Funny Womax and Friends. And you have been so instrumental in helping us in that journey, which is now rebranding and growing this thing that we're doing that's bringing more comedy and joy to the valley. So I just want to thank you for that.
Absolutely.
And thank you for spending some time with me to talk a little bit more about what Nightcap by Merge is all about.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. So.
It has been a wild ride. It is so encouraging, if I just may say, to build a relationship with another local business owner because there are some ups and downs in that journey. And it really is encouraging to talk to someone who really understands.
Absolutely. You got to commiserate sometimes and also got to encourage each other. So, yeah, it's been great.
Yes, it has. And this newest venture isn't exactly where you started. You have, I think, three?
There were three. We're sitting in one of the three.
Right.
In the building that used to house the coffee shop, coffee shops, and we converted it into Nightcap.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Which is really great. And it's not just you. There is a group of owners. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and how you all found each other and why
absolutely.
You decided to make some coffee in the first place?
So Nightcap's owner is Merge Coffee. We started in my cousin's garage. So it's myself, my cousin Charles, and then two friends of ours who are sisters, Emily and Larissa Martin. Okay. We worked in similar fields and had a lot of overlap, got to know each other through that, the two families did. And Charles wanted to start roasting coffee.
And so this is all Charles's
this
fault.
This is, it's usually Charles's fault. But yeah, he's wanted to start roasting coffee and we said, that'd be kind of cool. Let's maybe put some money together and get a tiny little electric roaster.
Okay.
If nothing else, it just pays for our obsession with coffee. And we started roasting and we were bad at it at first because that's how things work. Nobody's great out the gate.
That's right.
But we started roasting coffee in his garage and got a little better. Started selling online, just little retail bags of coffee. People can get delivered to their home. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity to open our first coffee shop happened, kind of fell into our laps. And we said, hey, we'll try it out. And that was back in 2017. Mm-hmm. And so 7 years later, almost to the day now, Merge has grown into having a few locations and doing a lot of wholesale and sending coffee all over the place. So,
yes. And now we have opened up a wine bar, which we're sitting in right now. What inspired that?
So we still feel like it falls under the broader umbrella of beverage. we're beverage professionals that happen to be in the coffee world first.
Yeah.
We wanted to open a place that kind of had the same coziness and feel of a coffee shop, mm-hmm. but we had a little different offering.
Okay.
Something for the 22 to 50 year old person, you know, something that wasn't super college centric.
Right.
And something that was meant to be a destination and not a throughway. With coffee, a lot of times it's, I'm getting this to go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with a place like Nightcap, this is the destination.
Mm.
And that was really intriguing to us. And we honestly, we all like food a little more than coffee too. So
me too. And I like coffee.
Yeah, it's absolutely. And so, you know, being able to do that and offer great wine, cocktails, food, it's been a really fun adventure.
Yeah. What would you say? There is another wine bar down the street. Also lovely. Mm-hmm. Rootstock. What would you say differentiates your wine bar from not just that one, but other wine bars in general?
So it's tricky because, you know, Nightcap has elements of being a wine bar, but mm-hmm. we don't necessarily class it like that because it's got a mixture of a few different things. One, okay. we have really great cocktails that you don't often yes. find at a wine bar.
This is true, laughers. I have attest. Experimented with a few of them. Wink, wink.
But
that was
yes.
a bad wink, but anyway, you get the note.
So, you know, we have great cocktails. We have really great food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a curated selection of wine, sure. But then also we kind of have that, you know, the coziness factor. It's just the feeling that you get when you walk in. So as far as classification for it, it's mm-hmm. not really a wine bar. It's not really a cocktail bar. It's not really tapas. It's kind of a mix of all three.
Mm.
So
I thought you said topless for a minute.
Tapas.
I did figure it out.
But. Yes, tapas.
Yes.
Got to work on my pronunciation here, Lapras. I'm sorry.
Good.
So kind of a mix of all three.
Yeah.
And we want the overall experience. You know, when people walk in here, they say, we feel like, and this is no slight to Harrisonburg, but they say, we feel like this isn't in Harrisonburg.
Mm.
You know, us being from, Charles and I being from D.C., you know, larger city.
Yeah, it does kind of have a little bit of that feel, an urban feel to it.
Yeah, yeah. We mm-hmm. wanted to have a little more of that feel, you know, and that's not to look down on anybody Mm-mm. or to say it's better than so-and-so, but this is just kind of what we were aiming for.
Yeah. You have what red and white wines here. How do you curate and select your wines? What's that process like for a business like this?
So going back kind of to your question about differentiation. So mm-hmm. we've got Rootstock literally across the street. We could see it if this big building wasn't next to us on our left. but, you know, excellent folks over there. I believe the owner's from Bluestone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, Bluestone Vineyard.
So they're doing their own wines and, you know, highlighting Virginia wines, doing a great job. At
absolutely.
It,
I right? agree 100%.
So we're not going to try to compete on that. You know, mm-hmm. We want to complement each other. And so we're curating from across the country, you know, using folks that are experts at finding great wines.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when we got into the coffee game, we asked a lot of questions.
Mm.
You know, we didn't come in with preconceived notions or thinking right. that we knew everything. We realized that we didn't know much. And so that yeah. enabled us to become award-winning coffee roasters. And same
right.
with our wine curation. We've got a lot of compliments on our wine list and people feeling like it's serving a good spectrum of people. So
what does that process look like when you're selecting them? Is there some online research and then a tasting?
Yeah, tastings okay. mainly. You know, our philosophy with beverage, once again, right. is taste rules everything. So
I like that.
You learn the rules.
Okay.
But taste is going to govern where you go. So that's how we approach it typically. We taste everything.
I love how you curate the wines here. That is really awesome.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of this wine tasting process.
You
so.
Know, we had a tasting yesterday. I'm sorry. I should have texted you.
You definitely need to text me next time, friend. But it reminds me how my friend over at Preposterous Popcorn takes mm-hmm. all this time to curate so many sweet and salty flavors.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I happen to have some right here. This is amazing.
That.
This is a chocolate flavor.
It's chocolate, yeah.
Pairs well with dark wine. What do you think? Dark wine, red wine. What do you think?
That will work.
This absurdly flavorful popcorn is the best.
Mm-hmm.
So amazing. Their kernels are grown right here in the Shenandoah Valley. Their factory is 100% nut-free. They have Virginia Spinus trademark, which makes them a top specialty crafted food here in Virginia. And it's, you can give it away for literally any occasion as a gift. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And because you are a laugher, you get a 15% discount when you use LAUGH15 and go on prepopsterous.com. That's PrePopsterous.com today. And then that way, when you get it and you don't give it away, you can also munch on it when you join us on next week's episode. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Absolutely great. Mm-hmm. Delicious. Definitely get you some of this. Get that promo code.
I know. Save that money. So back to you, Doc. How do you ensure that Nightcap offers an elevated yet approachable experience to the community?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Thank you.
So I think, you know, we try to pair excellence with approachability.
Okay.
And so, yes, we want to do the very best job that we can. And, you know, when people come in, I like to walk them through the menu. Something as simple as numbering the wines on the menu.
Oh.
So that you don't have to try to pronounce so-and-so. You can just say, hey, I'd like to explore some wines. Maybe I'll try this number two. Mm. You know, that way, you know, you're not already feeling like you don't belong. Mm-hmm. You know, because I can't pronounce Lavelli. Famille Perrin Rosé, you know, it's that gets to be a little much for some people. You know, some people don't want to sound dumb when they're sounding something out. So it's just little things, little touches like that. Yeah. You could come in here dressed up or in shorts and it's totally fine. People don't feel out of place, which is really cool. But yeah, we just try to do the little things just to make sure that people feel welcome, but also can have a really great experience. You know, making sure that people are taken care of, I think is hugely important in food service.
I like that a lot. For someone who has never been inside of here before, mm-hmm. and they're only seeing just a portion of it, how would you describe the decor, the atmosphere, and the kind of ambiance that's created here?
So decor, atmosphere, ambiance. So like I said, we're kind of that mix of elegance, but also still approachability. Walls are kind of a off-white, mm-hmm. you know, almost a creamy color, but not too much. Mm-hmm. Lots of natural wood. Obviously, we've got giant windows in here as well.
They're gorgeous. I actually love them.
Floor to ceiling windows, mm-hmm. little bistro lights, and just little light accents, which are really nice. During the day, it looks a lot different than it does at night. We lower the lights a lot, and that daylight still comes through the evening sun, which is really nice. But yeah, it's kind of clean, but it also still has some warmth to it. Mm-hmm. Something that was really important to us was, once again, the experience. Mm-hmm. So if you go to like a luxury hotel, for instance, mm-hmm. what's one thing that you notice in a luxury hotel that tells you you're in a luxury hotel? When you get to the room.
When I get to the bathroom.
The bathroom. If you take a look at our bathrooms, they are very nice. They're always clean and they are very, very nice. There's like nice hand lotion in mm-hmm. there, nice soap. You know, even the paper towels aren't in a dumb dispenser. You know, Cintas is not in there. So it's little touches like that. People walk in, they go, whoa, okay, there's nice art in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So it's things like that, you know.
Wow. Now with the bar food, the elevated bar food, can you talk to us more about your menu items that you offer? And what are some of the most popular ones?
So it's really funny. Like I said, I like to walk people through the menu when they come in.
Yeah.
And when we get to the food, this is my line usually. It's like, hey, the food is amazing. It's not just okay. It's really good. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, may sound a little pompous to people sometimes, but I say, just trust me on this. We only have 6 items on our food menu. So we can't afford to not have good things in all of those slots.
I see. Yes. You know,
so hyper curation is kind of how we approach it. Most popular item, it kind of goes between our wings, which we change pretty occasionally. Right now we're doing a cherry blossom wing, which is really good.
I have not had that, so I'm going to put that on my list.
Really tasty. It's got a black cherry dry rub on it. And we garnish it with some rose petal. Just kind of a homage to DC again. Okay. With the cherry blossoms.
Yeah.
Just fun stuff like that. And then probably our flatbreads are really popular
I like those.
We've got a vodka pepperoni flatbread as well as a carnitas flatbread, which you just won't find anywhere. And then dessert. There's a gentleman
we cannot forget. Dessert first, I say.
Yeah. There's a gentleman that owns an Italian restaurant out in Shenandoah County.
And really?
He comes here just for dessert. We have tiramisu that he's like, this is better than my tiramisu.
Wow.
So he comes here just for tiramisu. Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. So
who is the chef?
So Charles is leading the charge with the food. He's great at it.
Charles is always up to something.
He is always up to something. Yeah. So he is killing it with the food.
Where does he get his culinary experience from?
So, I mean, I think it's just, you know, here and there.
Okay.
I know he's taken some cooking lessons and that kind of thing in recent times. But, yeah, he just loves to experiment and try new things and kind of dial it in. So
the menu changes then.
It does, yeah.
How often does it change?
We are trying to find the rhyme and reason to that, but
okay.
It's definitely going to be seasonally, but we still switch things out kind of as we go. So we had a hot honey margarita for a while that was really popular, mm-hmm. and we changed that to a dragon fruit margarita as the seasons changed.
Gotcha.
You know, as we grow, and we're still in the first six, I guess we're at the 6 month mark now, but still pretty early on in it. So we're figuring mm-hmm. out what people want, you know. We just had happy hour not too long ago. So
yeah, I saw that.
Cool. Yeah, some bites and different little things. Just get people in the doors a little earlier in the day. So
right.
But yeah.
From a business perspective, what is involved in terms of changing the menu? I imagine there's cost in printing materials and things like that. And how do you go about doing that in a cost productive way, yet still keeping brand with your look and all of that?
Early on, you know, you got to eat a little bit of that cost.
Yeah.
It's not the kind of the way we went about it was we went with a cost effective solution to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, a heavy stock paper menu.
Okay.
It's not like we have to do a whole bunch of, you know, crazy lamination or anything like that. And we just get a little sleeve that we put it in and call it the day.
Okay.
And this is, you know, this place seats 35 people max, and mm-hmm. that would be stuffing it. So it's not like we have to have 200 of these. So
I see. Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. When we said cozy, we meant cozy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm wondering, what are your favorite menu items?
It depends on the mood. That is for sure. Favorite menu item. Honestly, something that is kind of slept on, and that's just because people are still figuring out it exists, are mac and cheese bites.
What?
Really
I have had those.
Yeah.
I need to get back in here because that took too long to recall.
Yeah. Happy hour item. It's like $5, I think.
Oh, wow.
Don't quote me on that, Laffer. I'm not looking at the menu. Don't quote me. It's around there somewhere.
Roughly.
Approximately.
Roughly.
But yeah, so it's got like a ginger soy kind of sauce that comes with it. And it just pairs really nicely. And fried to perfection. So, yeah.
Does Charles come up with all the menu selections, or do you all as a team say, hey, Charles, what about adding this menu item and that menu item?
It's pretty collaborative.
Okay.
You know, we kind of overlap and have a really good synergy from working together for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Charles and I have always been in cahoots doing random projects and business ventures and that kind of thing. And then with Emily and Larissa, we just know each other well enough now to where there's no ego involved.
That's good.
You know, he's kind of spearheading the food, but one of us will say, hey, what if we did this?
Okay.
You know, or I'm kind of doing the cocktails and they'll both go, hey, have you tried this maybe? Or maybe we'll do this. And we're all just like, we all want to win and win as a company, not as individuals. And so we're always wanting to collaborate because there's more power in that. You can create something a little more beautiful and bigger than yourself in that collaboration.
I want to talk about that a little bit because you see different business models out there and there'll be a single business owner and there's a beauty in that. They're calling the shots. They're moving it in the direction they would like to. Of course, we're all succeeding from failing in our way forward and figuring that out. And that would look different than a group of four business owners. So can you talk a little bit about how you all have figured out the best way to work together as a collective group of owners from, you know, throughout the 7 years?
Yeah.
Has things changed? What did you figure out works best? And can you give any recommendations to people where there might be a group of a few friends that might want to go into business together, but they're like, well, I don't know how that works. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about that?
Life definitely moves on and things change. I mean, in any relationship, whether that's romantic or platonic, you know, you're on a journey. And so you're going to change.
That's true.
Alongside of your circumstances and situations. And so I think having that understanding, firstly, is really important when you have business partners, just knowing that things are going to change and it's okay, but you have to communicate and seek to understand the people that you work with. As far as, you know, us in the 7 years and having four people, obviously, you know, you got four people that are technically in charge.
Right.
That can be a little weird, but I think for us, just leaving ego at the door is really important to us. We don't let our egos get in the way of progress or growth, and just showing each other respect as far as what we contribute to our team and just making sure people know that, you know, sometimes in different portions of our business, one of us that isn't typically working on that will go over to that portion and be able to do a lot of stuff because just having fresh eyes and not being buried in the weeds, but we're not offended that that person could then go and do those things for the better of the company, you know? So it's just leaving your ego at the door is hugely important. You know, it's harder to get into the nitty gritty of some of those things because it depends on the people involved. Obviously everybody's got to want to do that one, you know? But I would say from a zoomed out perspective, that's probably the biggest thing.
How do you all as a team find the best way to communicate? Is there a weekly meeting? You touch base daily? What does that look like?
We do not have a system in place for that.
Okay.
I mean, we just do it.
The key to in making anything happen is to just do it.
You know, it's like we're not corporatized enough to be like, okay, we're going to have a Monday powwow, you know, every week. And, you know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But we just make sure it happens, you know, make sure that we communicate and go from there.
You guys are in a generation after mine. Is the communication more text?
I'm a phone call person. I'm old. Somebody will text me and I will call them.
I think it's because you're people oriented like me.
That's true.
I prefer the direct connection face to face or by the phone too.
I like the clarity of a phone call. I can understand your tone, intentions, inflections, sarcasm, you know, with text, I feel like, and I don't want to tangent, but with text, I feel like it can be easily misinterpreted through your own lenses of how you're feeling.
I agree with that. Actually, that just happened to me this morning. And I was, you know, somebody that I'm working on a project with said something happened last night. Sorry, I didn't get in touch with you. And I made the assumption that it was work related. And I was wrong because he was in the hospital last night. That's much more serious.
Right.
So, of course, I responded to that because I care about this person. But that is a definite example of how that can happen.
Yeah. You know, somebody forgets to put the emoji that they always put in. And you're like, well, is this person like serious or are they not? You know, it just gets to be a little hairy. So I'd much rather just call you.
And I like when you do it. That's fun.
Absolutely.
You have cocktail concoctions here. You've mentioned a few. Can you tell us more about what's available and how you guys come up with these different concoctions?
So our cocktails are actually all wine-based, which is really funny to people because it's not a hugely popular thing.
Right.
This is one of those... how would you say? Basically, one of those things you do to figure out kind of a way around some stuff. So with ABC in Virginia, there's no technical bars in Virginia. There mm-hmm. are restaurants that have bars. Mm-hmm. To have a liquor license to where you can do tequila and vodka and those mm-hmm. types of things, 50% of your sales have to be food. Mm-hmm. And so a place with 30 seats, 50% has to be food, that would just not really work out. So a beer and wine license is the way to go. And so we're using what's called a fortified wine as the base for cocktails. So we have a few different options for that. But a fortified wine is just
infused
wine.
Okay, yep, thank you.
I knew you were going to get there.
I'll take, Help us out, Doug.
But it's just an infused wine. It's typically infused with the spirit, which sounds like a weird loophole, but it works. Or aromatics or bitters. Mm-hmm. And it's got a higher ABV than a typical glass of wine would. So a typical wine is about 12 to 13%, where a fortified wine is like 15 to 23%. Mm-hmm. So you can still get some depth and complexity. Most people that get a margarita from us go, I had no idea this was wine.
I know. I was shocked by that myself. Yeah. It's really good. How do you come up with a concoction?
So using our wine vendor, they helped get us started a bit. Mm-hmm. They actually had some recipes that were pretty helpful. Mm-hmm. Didn't love them all, but it at least gave us an idea of kind of ratios and that kind of thing. And then also taste. So what do these fortified wines taste like? And what would be a comp in the kind of liquor lane for this? So what we use for our margarita is a citrusy white wine that's kind of like tequila. Mm. You know, it's not tequila and it will never be tequila, but it's kind of like that taste and flavor profile wise. And so knowing, okay, well, we can use this as a base for a margarita and be a really great experience for people. ChatGPT also is a really
can be handy, I must
tool.
Say. Yeah.
You know, you use that as a collaborative tool, not as a problem solver.
That's right.
And so saying, hey, I have this and I would kind of like to maybe do this, you know, give me some ideas to start working with. And so everything gets tweaked, obviously. But we like to use unconventional tools to try to figure some stuff out. And
unconventional.
Yeah.
What is unconventional tools?
Well, unconventional tools like a ChatGPT, you know. People will look at that and go, oh, that's cheating. It's like, well, no, it's just the tool.
I like it as a brainstorming tool for sure.
It's a collaborative tool.
And it sparks ideas. It certainly has for me.
Yeah.
If you've been to other wine bars like this elsewhere, you've mentioned kind of this has a bit of an urban DC feel. Mm-hmm. Are there wine bars like this?
I'm sure there are.
Modeled out there?
I think the only like thing that would be kind of like this would be down in Stanton, the Green Room.
Yes.
Yeah. So it'd be kind of like that. Yeah.
Did you use that place as an inspiration to kind of design this one or...
Maybe like very, very loose concept.
Okay.
But yeah, as far as menu and that kind of thing goes, we were like, yeah, we'll just figure it out.
Just figure it out. That's the way to do it. How has the community responded to Nightcap so far?
It's been really good.
Yeah.
The winter was crazy. A lot of times on the weekend, it was standing room only. Harrisonburg summers are always interesting. So
yes.
It's a little slower.
A little bit slower, yes. Yeah.
Our target demographic, I forgot that they have kids.
and they go on vacation and into the beach. Kids are in camp. Their schedules are different. Yeah.
Yes. And so summer's been a little slow, but it's still, you know, been great as far as learning experience goes and just kind of working out the kinks.
You also have events here now.
Yeah.
and stumbled upon a very successful one called The Murder Mystery.
Yeah, absolutely. So
yeah, let's talk about that.
Murder Mystery Night. So we wanted to kind of go along the ideas of like the murder mystery dinner. But we don't have much a huge kitchen, and so that wouldn't really work out. So we kind of came up with a hybrid concept to where you get six people on a team, and each person has a ticket. Once we assemble those six, they get two bottles of wine for their team. They can choose from the wine list. I think just about everything's up for grabs, except for maybe like one really expensive Cab Sauv. They have a kit that they work through that has really fun case evidence to work through. It's got pictures and text logs and security cam footage and things you got to look up online.
Really?
Yeah, it's very, very
before you
immersive.
Get here?
So we give them the kit when they get here.
And then they can look up online on their phones.
Yep. I see. So they get the physical evidence as well as some things that they have to look up online.
I see.
It usually takes a couple hours to get through.
Really?
To solve the case, yeah. And it's been very popular. It's been
right,
very
you
popular.
Didn't. You sold out the first one.
Yep, sold it out in less than a day. It was like 18 hours. It was completely sold out. So
that's amazing.
We had two this month. We had one 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Or a week ago, actually. And we're having one next week.
And what are the themes so far?
So the first one was a Hollywood starlet murder, I believe. And then this month's murder mystery is based in 1985 in Miami. And so it was a Miami Vice kind of dress theme.
Okay.
Which is really fun.
That is fun.
Yeah, so we're having a lot of fun with it.
Okay, and you mentioned it's hybrid. So did you put that kind of together yourself?
Yeah.
Or are there, okay. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if there are kits out there or something.
Oh, okay. So there is a kit as far as the solving the case. Yes.
Right.
There's a kit for that.
Before the organizer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as like, okay, well, how do you make this kind of a murder mystery thing?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where we had to figure out how to connect it all. Yeah.
Okay. So that part's on your end. Mm-hmm. So you took the final basic product and then built out something innovative that would work for you.
Exactly.
I love thinking outside the box, and I think that's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Some of the best things are right out of the box. You know, I mean, thinking out of the box is what I meant to say. So you have that happening. Are there challenges that you've faced so far in your 6 months of running Nightcap by Merge?
Of course.
Has everything just run so smoothly? There's nothing to be agitated about.
I mean, you know, there's always the bumps and bruises of business ownership. You know, we as the owners are the ones that are kind of running it as it gets on its feet. So we're not staffing it out with other folks just yet. So, you know, it's just the commitment of it. You know, it's just the grind of, you know, you got to be here. Just the normal bumps and bruises of business ownership, I would say. But it's overall, it's been a very pleasant experience. This is way easier than coffee, honestly. So it's been a good experience overall.
Easier than coffee. How so?
Just the workflow is very different. Once again, the atmosphere is different. Coffee is a throughway to a destination, as I spoke about earlier, whereas this, people are ready to relax. Nobody's in a rush.
It's a different part of the day.
Different part of the day.
Right.
You know, coffee is a lot of times people's first interaction with people in the morning. And a lot of people aren't awake. You know, it's just kind of how it goes.
Right.
So it's not about crushing the rush or getting this done as fast as you can. But it's about creating as good of an experience as you can. So it's just a different muscle.
What is the biggest challenge in both of those businesses? The coffee and then the wine bar, would you say?
Biggest challenges?
Yeah.
Ah, that's so broad.
I know.
Because
those are two very different industries.
They are two very different things. Even though they're both hospitality, it's a different type of hospitality.
Right.
I would say, man,
you know,
inventory is always fun. That is always fun because there's so many little things. I mean, when you start to think about cups and lids and flavors and coffee and, you know, supplies and milk.
And stirs.
Four
and
types of
sugar
milk.
Packets.
Yep. Truvia and Splenda.
Yeah.
And, you know, so inventory is always kind of a bear. So that will probably be for coffee. For nightcap, we haven't been around long enough to kind of have a good idea on what the big thing is to work on. Because it all feels like it's something that we're just continually
learning as you go.
And trying to grow it. So,
okay. What is the funnest part of running the coffee business, and what is the funnest part of running the wine bar?
So, coffee business, I mean, you know, just being a part of the community, you know, it's really cool to be a practical part of the community. That's really nice. Where you go out in town and see people that you know, and, you know. So that's really nice, just getting to know people.
The relationships.
Yeah, the relationships. You know, I would tell anybody that moves to a new area, go work at a coffee shop.
Make new friends.
Yeah, make some new friends. Yeah. You know, you get authentic connections because you're not saying, hey, let's get together and I don't know you, but I want to learn about business.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, get to know them over coffee and then you can kind of grow from there. It's a little more organic. And then for nightcap, I mean, just making creative stuff is really fun. We added creme brulee cheesecake.
Yes, which he had me try the last time I was in.
I was thinking I had you try, but I wasn't going to expose you.
Well, thanks for that, I guess.
I mean, I wasn't going to put it out there, but since the cat's out of the bag. So creme brulee cheesecake, you know, it's like you're just not going to find that anywhere else in town.
Yeah.
But we take a slice of cheesecake, we coat it in raw sugar, and we torch the whole thing.
They do indeed.
Yeah. And so it's kind of a warm cheesecake situation with the, you know, the crunch of that sugar. You can take a spoon and just, you know, clink, 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 just like a creme brulee. And then there's like a strawberry puree that goes with it. It's really tasty. But it's like fun, creative stuff like that. With coffee, you are kind of locked into what people expect.
Okay. Because, that's a difference too.
Yeah. Coffee is habitual. And so the coffees that sell the most are the most like kind of middle of the road, consistent things. You know, vanilla latte or a cup of drip coffee, you know, and you can't deviate or force people to change from that. Whereas with nightcap, we have the opportunity to be a little more creative. You know, there's not as many kind of boundaries because people want an interesting experience.
With the growing popularity of nightcap, which keeps growing, what are the future plans in store for this cozy atmosphere?
That is a wonderful question. One I do not have an answer for.
You mean you're only 6 months in and you don't know?
Right. It's like, well, here's our five-year plan, Dawn. No, you know, I'm not sure what the future holds for nightcap, but I know it is a successful concept.
It is.
You know, it's a lot of people have told me just, hey, this has saved Harrisonburg for us. And I don't feel like it's that extreme, but it is nice.
I like the
sentiment,
though.
Yeah,
you've brought something unique. And
exactly. You know, it's just having something a little different and also something that is just not college centric. You know, I don't even market to college kids because that's a different
demographic.
College kids, you are welcome.
Just absolutely.
So you are welcome. Just don't tell a bunch of people.
We're total fans. We love you. My husband's a professor at James Madison University, so we certainly appreciate all that you bring to our community. This is a college town, and it's not just James Madison University. We have Eastern Mennonite University,
absolutely.
Bridgewater College. Am I missing?
Blue Ridge.
Blue Ridge, absolutely, which is just down the road. So our young people are our future, and they're going to be coming up with creative businesses like this too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's a great. And for these college students that we just referenced, or anyone that is thinking about getting into hospitality and opening up a business related to that, you have a wealth of experience. What kinds of advice would you give those individuals?
Do your research. I feel like everybody should have to work in food service for at least half a year just to understand what all goes into this. Do your research. Also know why you're doing things. Understand your why and understand or do your research so that you know what you're going to get out of this. You're not going to do this and get rich. Just going to keep it 100%. That's not how this works. We do this because we love it. So make sure you understand that in hospitality, oftentimes it's a labor of love and not because you think it's the highway for financial success. Now, financial success can be defined different ways by different people. I should probably say it's not a highway to get rich. It's probably a better way to put that.
Yes, because you can make a living, certainly.
Yeah, you can definitely make a living for
a small business.
And doing the thing that you love and enjoy. Yeah, absolutely.
You have an interesting background in photography and videography. You were a wedding photographer, right? For how long?
My wife Marlene and I did that for 10 years.
And you have other experiences. I was looking at your website today for Nightcap by Merge, and I said, this has Duck Matthews thumbprints all over it.
A little bit.
It's very clean and professional with exceptional video and photography. Did the team just say, Duck, this is your job?
Pretty much. Okay. You know, the rest of the team dealt with a lot of the legal stuff and the technical things, which I'm not strong at, as Dawn can attest to. We have teamed up for the past year and we've both learned our strengths and weaknesses.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And we're shifting our tasks around to address that.
Absolutely. But I will shout out my friend Paul. I believe his company is called Social Video Studios.
Oh, I love Paul. Yeah, he just did the Friendly City Fortune Mega Raffle for Harrisonburg Downtown Renaissance, and I was in that commercial.
Absolutely.
I'm going to post it on the Funny Womack YouTube here soon. So for those of you who follow the podcast, you can see his work.
Yes. Yeah. So Paul is excellent. And he's the one that did that video for us.
I
designed the site, did photos and stuff, but he did the video and it was perfect.
It's absolutely really perfect. Great. Yeah. It's the first thing you see when you pop open your website, the mixing of the drink or whatever. It's really good. Yeah, I would want to ask you too, again, for the people who are thinking about opening up a hospitality business who may have some different skills and they might think about joining a team to open up a business with a few of their friends. What would be your advice to them? Figure out who should do what in terms of what their strengths and backgrounds are.
So definitely knowing yourself is half the battle. You know, I count ourselves really lucky and blessed that, you know, we haven't killed each other over the past 7 years. Because, you know, I mean, we were all kind of growing and learning in different phases of life. You know, Charles has an 18-year-old son now. I don't have any kids. And, you know, Emily's not married. And you know, it's just, you know, we're all at different phases of life. And, you know, we feel really lucky that we figured out how to, you know, work with each other's weakness and strength. You know, just, hey, you're better at this than me. And it's okay. You're better than this at me. Please help me.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, so I can affirm that works well. Yes.
Absolutely. You know? So once again, going back to that statement earlier, of, you know, just keeping ego at bay, you know, leave that at the door. And knowing yourself, knowing your strengths and weaknesses and being honest with that, and then whoever you decide to go into business with, you know, just making sure just some of those core qualities align, you know, how you want to do business. Are you filling in the gaps for each other? If you're kind of geared similarly, who's going to fill in the gaps that you both have? You know,
are you going to outsource it?
Right, kind of thing. You know, just coming up with a clear game plan is usually important. And that's just gathering as much information as you can. So about what you want to do, about who you want to do it with, and how those pieces line up.
I agree with that. That person I talked about earlier is okay, by the way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't serious, but that checking your ego at the door is something that I value about our working together on this project, because we can calmly just say, you know what, I don't know that, or you're better at this, and reaffirm to each other not to take it personally, right. Because the end goal is we want to win, to provide something really wonderful for the community, and we want it to be a positive experience for everybody who wants to be a part of it. So I think that's really important, as clear communication and being okay with that you don't know everything and you can't do everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
One more question before we wrap up here and ask people to get how they can get in touch with you and follow you and all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking you've got a wealth of experience in different businesses, and then most recently with Merge Coffee locations, and now this. You know, hindsight is always 20/20.
Absolutely.
If you could do it all over again with the Merge Coffee companies and now the wine bar, what one thing would you do differently, given what you know now?
I would say just scaling. Fast was not the best decision.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes. We went to, you know, we had 3 cafes in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to go back and kind of shore up infrastructure,
right? You know,
to support that scaling. And so if anything, I think that's what we would have changed. You know, we also have a roasting portion of our business too, which is almost like a different business.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do wholesale for other coffee shops and bakeries and restaurants, and, mm-hmm. you know, do online sales, that's almost like it's a wing of Merge, but it's almost like its own entity.
Mm-hmm.
So just scaling really fast is not always great. You know, once again, we feel blessed to still be here, mm-hmm. you know, and we opened the building we're sitting in as a coffee shop. We opened it in March 2020,
mm-hmm.
which was excellent timing. you know, but our lease was signed and the building was completely remodeled.
Yeah.
That beam up there is the only original thing.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah. And so I was here every day, you know, for a year and some change. But yeah, I would say that's probably the biggest thing. It's just, you know, you don't have to scale super fast.
No.
Take your time, make sure you shore up the foundation of what you got going on, and then you can move on to the next thing.
Solid advice, yeah. Laffer. Solid advice. Well, as we wrap up here, how best can they keep up with Nightcap by Merge on social media and otherwise?
Yes. So I think on social media everywhere is going to just be Nightcap by Merge. That's on TikTok. That's on Instagram. That's on Facebook. Our website is www.nightcapbymerge.com. You can get on there and look at the menu. Also, there is a great parking map.
There is a great parking map there.
Immediate parking lot has 4 parking spots, but mm-hmm. there are a good 30 just across the street. And you are totally fine to park over there.
That's great. Very helpful information.
Yes.
Thank you for that. And thank you for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Doc. Always a pleasure, Dawn.
Oh, it's been amazing to hear about all things the Nightcap by Merge. And I'm excited for Laffers to come check it out if they haven't already, and to come back again if they have. If you've not done the murder mystery, we highly recommend. Sounds like an absolute blast.
It definitely is.
Make more of your Shenandoah Valley experience by stopping by the Nightcap by Merge. And to get more information, again, visit their website, nightcapbymerge.com. And Laffers, we want to thank you for joining us today and following this podcast. We appreciate you so much. Please give this podcast a like, share, subscribe, tell a friend, because it helps us create more amazing content to do just that. Get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience. Also, don't forget that discount as Laugh15 and visit prepopsterist.com to get that 15% off. Grab that popcorn and join us on next week's episode. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, Laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
See you guys.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womack and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomacks.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend. And until next time, cheers.